Resonance Rewind with Robin Pierce, Jessica Burtis, Eloise Sheehan, Jenny Bill, and every so often some delightful guests from the cosmos.
Be kind. Resonance Rewind.
Kalons and Zaleons and Mochlans, oh my. Let's look at the anti-banana ray. Let's even actually engage our quantum drive. It's time for another Resonance Rewind. And we've moved into what I consider guilty pleasure territory now, with Seth MacFarlane actually leading the lineup of, obviously, The Orville, which is the show we're considering today. The first episode, of course, Old Wounds. And we've got a fabulous quartet of individuals to actually work us through that whole process. We'll arrange them in the order they actually joined today. Eloise Sheehan, welcome. How are you?
Thank you, Alex. I'm good.
Excellent. Second, of course, was Robin Pierce. Are you keeping well, Robin, given that it's only a week away before you celebrate another birthday?
Oh, good grief. Another one? I'm fine, thanks. Getting older, apparently, but there we go.
That's the whole thing. It's an illusion, the whole life experience, as indeed Rebecca Bond will share with us. How are you, Rebecca? Especially given that you didn't even know what we were covering until you actually sent me an email to say, saying, what are we speaking about on Resonance Rewind? So how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Glad that you sent me the information, because I'm glad to talk about it. I'm glad I watched it.
There you go. Good stuff. And, of course, from Norway, that inevitable skater extraordinaire, it's Jenny Bill. How are you, Jenny?
I'm fine. Thank you very much. Good evening.
Excellent. Okay, Robin, would you like to do a précis of this first episode of what currently stands at 26 episodes, although there is a third season in the works for the end of this year, of course, the Star Trek that should have been but became Star Trek Discovery, and so it goes. Over to you, Robin.
Oh, you had to say that. Yeah. Oh, here we go. All right. Well, The Orville is a series created by Seth MacFarlane, in which he stars as the captain of the ship, The Orville. The series is set about 400 years in the future. It's a mid-range intergalactic series on an interplanetary exploratory vessel. And don't ask me to say that again. I don't think I could. The opening episode brings everybody together, including the unlikely pairing of the captain with his ex-wife as a first officer. Now, it was launched as a comedy drama.
And a dramedy.
Yes, a dramedy. Based on Star Trek. I think we're going to be covering that in a greater detail later on. This is the beginning of their missions, and we'll take it from there, shall we?
Okay, well, let's move straight away to North Carolina. Jessica Burtis, welcome to another edition of Resonance Rewind. Did you have your joyful trip on the USS, of course, Orville? Did it work for you? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought it was really fun. I thought it was a great parody of Star Trek. I loved how much more of a chaotic Star Trek it is. I thought that the humor in it was really funny. I didn't see anything bad about it. I think I just enjoy continuing the show.
Yeah, I must admit that it does seem to polarize people. I came to The Orville initially thinking, it's Seth MacFarlane. I can only take so much Family Guy. Ted, it's got its own routine, but, you know, but actually his love for the series, the fact that there's one of Star Trek Next Generation's finest producers, Brandon Braga, also exec producing this show, the fact that the science advisor for the whole Star Trek series, pre-Alex Kurtzman, is also involved with it, Andre Bormanis. I think there's an homage to the whole thing there. But let's move to Rebecca Bond. Rebecca, as I say, fortunately, you at least sort of found out what we're going to be doing today. So how did you make of your first ever experience of the Orville?
I enjoyed it. I think the humour, as Jessica said, was one of the main things I picked up on. That was the main thing I wanted to come on here and say. It was a really good feel good show, and I'd happily watch it, you know. But I think I'd watch it in the background as my only criticism. Like, I lose interest in those things kind of easily. And I don't know if I'm allowed to say that it was kind of a underwhelming Star Trek, because, you know, I went into Star Trek quite blind. I'd never seen it before. So I expect it to be really iconic. I think I favour this more traditional style than I do this modern remake. That's the only criticism I have, but I did enjoy watching it and I love the humour, so...
I think it's fair to say, Rebecca, it's more of a parody or more of a kind of parallel with Star Trek The Next Generation, yeah, as opposed to the original series.
I just feel like there shouldn't be another one. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, although, of course, with respect to the Trek universe, I was tempted to actually invite Larry Nemechek to join us today, but we thought we'd hold back on that. Star Trek Lower Decks is an animated version which kind of takes the whole thing even further from the point of view of what we see in the Orville. Eloise, I think you might have been part of the group that I actually screened the opening episode of the Orville 2 back in the day when you were an undergraduate at the University of Lincoln, and probably actually said that was horrible, that was terrible, never subject it to us to it again. But you might have changed your thoughts since then.
That was actually one of the screenings I didn't go to, but no, I saw it and I thought, this is going to be the same sort of thing as Star Trek and that sort of thing. But when I watched it, it was just what I needed. I thought it was really quite funny, and not seeing Seth MacFarlane in anything previously, I found it quite refreshing, and I would watch more of it if I didn't have to pay £2 an episode on Amazon Prime. So.
Well, there you go. You should actually get a DVD box set of seasons 1 and 2 for £17. The whole thing's all in on that basis, so it's worth sort of considering. I'm sure it'll go onto Prime before too long. Jenny, what about your good self? Because I suppose you could turn around and say, but Galaxy Quest did it so much better. But then again, you may not.
I actually watched this morning, and when I was just now sitting here and I was thinking, I can't even really remember very much about it. And that probably sums up what an impact it had on me. I thought it was like teenage humour. I actually didn't see the point in it. I don't see the point in having comedy drama. I think you have drama or you have comedy. Okay, I think there's probably like two things that made me laugh. I thought the plot was predictable. No, I don't really have anything good to say about it. Sorry, everybody.
Jenny quite clearly putting this in the category of the Teen Titans Go movie, which is her prerogative, and that's perfectly okay. In terms of the overall sequence, though, I mean, I did feel it was very well made. Some of the lines, some of the one-liners were very adolescent in terms of tone, and including, of course, Happy National Arbor Day. That was an interesting sort of way in which, obviously, the tardigrade, of course, which the tardigrade very much emerges as part of the Star Trek Discovery universe in terms of time and accelerated time and other factors within the plot line as well. And it's always good. I think anything that Victor Garber actually appears in as Alan Merle Halsey is pretty impressive, because let's face it, he is one of the legends of the DC universe. Robin, it seems as though I'm probably the sole slightly more mature folk here who actually would rate The Orville as being actually a fun show and well worth giving some time to.
I'd watched the first season when it was first broadcast. I thought it started out strong, but I quit, I think, just before the end of the season. And I remember thinking, it's flawed. It's the initial episode, the one that we're covering here, Old Wounds, directed by Jon Favreau, is a really good setup, and it has potential. But I could see the Star Trek parody in it, But somewhere along the line, it became a diluted Star Trek imitation. And there's a very big difference between an imitation and a parody. Now, I can get behind the comedy-drama concept, because this is one that I will disagree with Jenny on, because my whole life has been a comedy-drama. Trust me on this. I just thought it was too much Next Generation. Not so much the original series, but there were certainly elements of the films in it, starting from Star Trek the Motion Picture, and very heavy elements of the Next Generation. I mean, for example, the Isaac character, the silver-garbed character who's on the bridge. I mean, every nuance of his movements and, you know, his syntax was just screaming, look at me, I'm imitating Data. And it was like, just stop it already, okay? Stop it. You don't do it as well as Brent Spiner does. Stop it, for the love of God. I like the interplay between Seth MacFarlane and Adrian Palicki as the estranged couple, which is an odd thing for me to say, because Seth MacFarlane, I can't hear him as anything other than Peter Griffin. But one of the things I do have to go on about here is the effects work is absolutely top rate. It's visually absolutely stunning, and for that reason alone, I may actually revisit this by way of the box set that you mentioned. My you know, I would possibly thank you for that, and possibly my pension fund would not.
It's a bargain if you rush to that Amazon River site and do various other aspects of that. I'm intrigued, actually. You turn to Rebecca, because, as I say, you have never seen, presumably, any Star Trek The Next Generation. So some of the lines that Robin's saying there, references to characters like Data and so on, you're not aware of. So presumably on that basis, you'd say it's just a fun show in itself, really.
Yeah, so this is my point originally. I watched the trailer first of all, and I think from the trailer I would not have gathered that it was a parody. I just expected to be going into a, you know, a remake of, you know, Star Trek. So that's what I went into it with the expectation of. And then watching it, I love the humour, but I was surprised by the humour. And I agree with Robin there that it kind of felt like an imitation. So at points I didn't know whether I was watching what was meant to be comedy or what was meant to be like a really, if I must say, bad remake of Star Trek. So although I enjoyed it as, you know, a lighthearted, you know, in the background TV show, I wouldn't sit there and watch it. And again, I wouldn't pay £2 an episode either, I agree.
It's set, of course, in the year 2419, when the adventures actually begin at the Orville, which is, of course, the 25th century. So they presumably just escaped from Buck Rogers' time there. And, of course, that's a century ahead of the original Star Trek series, although I think it's fair to say they are in separate universes. Jessica, any particular characters that emerged from yourself? I mean, I think Penny Johnson-Gerald as the Doctor, who, of course, she had also came out of Star Trek Deep Space Nine, where she was Ben Sisko's companion for a time. So, again, I think she strikes me as positive. And I think even the character of Isaac, named after Isaac Asimov, of course, a nice little nods there to the Foundation of the Robot trilogy, also worked well. Least liked character was probably Gordon Malloy, who I felt was too crude. And I thought, actually, even in a sophisticated word, that's too crude, basically. But maybe that's me. What about yourself, Jess?
I think that's ironic, because my favourite character was actually Gordon. Oh. I just thought he was such a mess. I don't know. I just thought that was... He was the character that I just could not take seriously, so I think that's why I liked him, because he kind of like brought out how much of a little parody it's supposed to be. But yeah, I just liked how he just didn't take himself seriously. Like, the show didn't take him seriously, and that's what I thought was really funny about his character.
And of course, as Bortus would say, as a motivating factor, anybody who can actually hug the donkey should actually be capable of actually executing the sequence from Star Trek V, directed, of course, by William Shatner, where a shuttlecraft actually lands inside the shuttle bay of the Starship Enterprise. In this case, it's the Orville. No sign of transporters, of course, so we see lots of shuttles developed. Eloise, what about yourself and characters? Were there any which you thought were particularly interesting, or ones you'd like to find out more about?
I'm going to have to agree with Jess. I really liked Gordon. I sort of related to him on a personal level, that not taking things seriously and just sort of winging everything and just hoping for the best. So I really liked him. I can't even remember any of the other characters' names. He was the only one that actually stood out for me, if that's quite embarrassing.
Which is interesting, because, of course, one of the guest characters, the scientist, of course, says, "I'm still learning people's names." So there is a kind of reflection on that when he can't even remember who's what. So the notion of the Salian, playing Allura Caton, of course, the superpowered head of security, age 23, 24, who has an interesting story arc that kind of takes her through the series, including in the second episode where she has to deal with being put in command of the entire ship. We're kind of just beginning to get to know that sort of ensemble cast, etc. What about yourself, Rebecca? Are you also sort of saying, yeah, Gordon for me, anybody who can actually have holographic designs in the way that he did, and also have a history of actually drawing male genitalia on various things, has got to be a star.
Do you know what? I'm so glad Eloise said that, because if I'm completely honest, he's the only one I remember as well. So, you know, I'm going to have to agree there that, yeah, he was an interesting one and probably my favourite, mainly for the reason I didn't really notably pick up on the other characters.
They're working so hard. Jenny, presumably it's a case of, from your own point of view, totally unforgettable, the entire thing, really. Thank you.
two characters I like. One is Bortus, the guy that came from the planet where it was nearly all men. And I also
Not quite, basically. A single gender species. That's the official line. Yeah. A big shock reveal, spoiler alert, in the second episode in which Bortus and his partner actually give birth to a female.
Yeah, I did read the trivia stuff, but I really liked the guy that was the one that was really chill that was saying, is it okay if we drink soda on the bridge? Because that would be me. I would be like, is it okay if I drink coffee while I'm at the helm and eat chocolate? So I thought he was really cool.
So effectively, John Lamar is the one that basically gets your vote in terms of the system. And of course, we do see him actually having a soda whilst actually in command of the ship as well, which is intriguing. Robin, likewise. I mean, are you a Captain Ed Mercer fan? I would say, you could almost say that they're channeling Mercerism from the Philip K. Dick novel "Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep?" and the whole essence of a religion there with Ed Mercer, or maybe not.
Well, I found that Captain Ed Mercer kind of gets tiring really quickly as you go further into the series. But as we're concentrating on this particular episode, that was fine. I mean, he's obviously, you know, like a diluted Captain Kirk. And I like the comedy interplay between him and Commander Kelly Grayson. But for me, and I'm agreeing with everybody else here, the ones who sold it to me were Gordon Malloy and John LeMay. I loved the interplay between the two of them, just chatting about anything that was happening. You know, oh yeah, we are going to be talking about this for sure. The one who really annoyed me alongside Isaac was Bortus, because every phrase he uttered, I just kept seeing and hearing Worf. The Klingon head of security, Rebecca, from Star Trek The Next Generation. You know, had the same sort of gruff delivery with a very deep voice. This is part of my problem, where it all just lapsed into imitation. And as you said, Alex, you know, if you want a really, really good parody of Star Trek, Galaxy Quest is the way to go.
You mentioned Jon Favreau, of course, known to many as being the original Happy Hogan in the latest series of Marvel movies, etc. Also, great thumbs up to Jon Favreau for directing Cowboys versus Aliens, truly a classic of its time, which we may or may not look through. I thought I might actually get that reaction from Robin.
Why would you bring that one up?
In addition to that, it's interesting to see that other alumni of Trek who've actually been involved with this, as well as Brandon Braga, Jonathan Frakes has directed episodes, Robert Duncan McNeil from Star Trek Voyager has directed episodes. I think it's fair to say that there is a kind of affection for this series which has sort of expanded beyond that. Eloise, what about yourself? I mean, in terms of the thing, I mean, apart from the cost of the episode, as and when it kind of will emerge in terms of an asset, which I'm sure it will in terms of Amazon or various other things, would you actually say, yeah, I want to watch more of this?
Yeah, I would 100% watch more of it. I think it's something, it's like a mixture. It's got everything you sort of need in a TV show when you kind of don't want to fully pay attention. So because I'm doing Latin all the time, I can't be bothered to actually pay attention to anything at the moment. So it's sort of perfect for me to have in the background and have a laugh at. So I would definitely watch more if they were for free with something.
Okay, well, as I say, 37 episodes in so far and still working through that. Jessica, overall, we've talked about characters, we've talked about images, etc. What about the storyline? I mean, in terms of the sequence, that there we have clearly people who are seen as the bad guys, the Krill. I used to think they were food for whales, but never mind. The Krill are obviously there, challenging the ongoing sort of battles of the Union as opposed to the Federation. Again, I won't give spoilers out, but we see certainly Isaac's race become vitally important in the second season, and of course the enemy. But that's a different line entirely in terms of battles against robots. Did you feel that was well done? Did you feel as though the exploration of science and of course the way in which the scientists are actually portrayed was useful? Or was it just a case of, again, that just passed you by, really? Just show that aging beam and get to the effects, really.
Yeah, I think that the plot was a bit predictable. I think I feel like the first episode was more just about setting up the characters and trying to give you snippets of their personality. I feel like the plot was kind of forgettable. I don't think it's, maybe it matters a lot this season in its development, but I don't think it's like a plot that was extremely unique or that I hadn't expected to happen. I think that it kind of just, you know, it was predictable.
Do you think there was a slight twist, or did you expect the arrival of Kelly, the character, to effectively sort of reveal that she was ultimately responsible for getting her former husband the job of his dreams?
That was a nice little twist, actually. I hadn't expected that, but I thought it added a bit of depth to her character. I didn't find her character likable, but I think that like added something to her. So that was kind of an interesting little twist that I think would play out very nicely throughout the season.
Yeah, I mean, Rebecca, would you want to chum up with Kelly Grayson, or would you actually sort of be gossiping about her like the rest of the Bridge crew, basically, and saying this is outrageous?
I think she'd be an interesting one to spend time with, but yeah, I agree. She wasn't the most likable of characters, but I think that's what makes her likable. You can't have, you know, an idealistic, you know, funny and all of these characteristics in every single character. So I agree with Jessica that the first episode definitely feels like getting to know all the personalities and introducing the characters. And I think that's what makes you want to watch on, because you grow to love, you know, Gordon, for example. We all have a soft spot, apparently. So yeah, I think it'd be interesting to see where the characters go, but agreed that the plot is, not engrossing, let's say.
And nobody as yet has mentioned Japheth, of course, the shapeless, amorphous, Odo-light character that we see, the yellow, amorphous blob that takes on all sorts of things. He's apparently an engineer, is Japheth. Again, he kind of emerges as somebody who has a passionate crush on the Doctor as the show proceeds. Eloise, anything from your own point of view that you'd like to add in terms of, as I say, our characters, indeed, favourite female characters?
I don't remember any of their names. No, they all sort of blended into the background, as normally female characters tend to do in science fiction shows, unfortunately. Yeah, I have nothing really more to add on that, Alex.
That's interesting, because I mean, we have obviously Kelly Grayson as one of the leads, Claire Finn. We've already talked about Halston Sage as the actress who portrays Lieutenant Lara Catane. From that point of view, I think that the gender balance, the diversity, is actually pretty high scoring for this. I mean, does that matter to you, Jenny, or is that just a case of, well, you know, if they made it back in the day, it would have been like an Owen Allen TV show, all white and male?
It's not my priority. For me personally, I like to see something that I feel is realistic, and I like drama. I'm not really a fan of comedy, and I certainly don't like the two things mixed together. So, no, I mean, it's nice to see strong female characters, but the characters to me are just part of the whole package, regardless of whether they're men or women. And I just like to see good characters, a good script, a good storyline. Yes, this had great sets. I agree with Robin. I thought the special effects, the sets, all of that was absolutely fantastic. I just thought the actual program itself was quite weak. And it had good music. Music was good.
I was just about to mention the music, which again echoes, I think, Star Trek. And again, lots of nods there. Robin, you already mentioned the Star Trek the Motion Picture circling the Starship Enterprise in the shuttlecraft, which is clearly to the fore there. It's picked up one prime time.
Little guys on the gantry jumping and waving as the ship moves out. But I must take a point of order with you there. Mr. Lefchuk, you are doing Irwin Allen a disservice by calling his cast all white. I would refer my learned colleague to Land of the Giants and the co-pilot, Don Marshall.
Yes, I would just actually sort of say, in terms of Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea, Lost in Space and the Time Tunnel, that's probably, I'd say, the key things we're looking for that. But
I would further just like to say one thing. Basically, the yellowish sort of... I know the snot monster, okay, was named Japheth after Japheth Kotto, who played the engineer in the original Alien movie. So there you go. Never say I don't research.
absolutely essential. As I say, the series has already picked up 3 wins in terms of Emmy Awards, been nominated 11 times for Emmy, so it's sitting in quite nicely in terms of lines for that. But ultimately, it doesn't really matter how many awards you've been nominated for, as indeed more and more people are finding as we head through Resonance Rewind. It's what does the Resonance Rewind team make of the particular programme that ultimately is going to make it or break it. Either is it going to be resuscitated, is it going to be brought back, etc. So let's turn to Eloise first. What's your mark out of 10 for this opening episode of The Orville? Of course, Old Wounds.
I really enjoyed it. There could be a better script. I don't know where the new episodes are going to go, if they're going to get worse or not, but I'm going to give this particular one a 7.
Mm-hmm. Jenny, let me predict yours. I think you'll go 4.
Actually, I think I will go 4. Thank you. I was undecided between a 3 or a 4, but yeah. I appreciate all the Star Trek homages, so I'm going to go 4.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sticking with a 7. I think that's reasonable. You know, Jessica, what about yourself?
I'm going with a 7 as well. I think so. Pretty solid 7.
Yeah. Okay. Rebecca?
I'm going to go with a 6. I think it's lovable. It's fun. I just wouldn't watch it in my spare time. I'd have it in the background, that's about it.
So you're not going to be first in line for the models of the USS Orville to actually say, I'm going to have not. That as a collectible.
I'm afraid not, no.
That's fine. And Robin, I think if I'm predicting, I think you might be 6 as well somehow. I have a feeling that might be the case. Or you might be 7, but I said it might be 6.
Okay, here's the shocker, okay? Thanks to what you said at the very beginning, during the show, while always listening, always be alert. Your country needs alert. I have actually placed an order for the 2-season box set through that rainforest that you mentioned.
Wow.
And I was thinking maybe 6 until Rebecca helpfully explained why it would be a 6 background thing. I want something to watch when I finished my run through of, spoiler alert, The Prisoner for our future episodes. So this is going to fit in quite nicely there. So I'm going 7.
Wow.
I don't there buy DVDs, just have them on the background. So, you know, 7.
Splendid. Next week, of course, we go to those circles of light, the Mysterons, with the original Gerry Anderson series, which is obviously exciting. Jenny, no end already. It could have been exciting Eloise as well, but Eloise doesn't have a camera on, so who knows. But it is Captain Scarlet and the Mysterons, episode 1. Just a quick sort of little survey. Jessica, have you ever encountered this Gerry Anderson series before, given that, of course, you were surprised by Gerry Anderson's super marionation in Thunderbirds earlier in the season?
I've never heard of it.
Awesome.
Well, there's a lot for that. Rebecca, likewise, have you encountered Captain Scarlet and the Mysterons in times past?
No. I have never, and I've never heard of it either. Is that surprising or is that normal?
It's the new normal, Rebecca.
I'm not surprised because you'd never heard of Star Trek The Next Generation.
That's true. Yeah, that's fair enough. Yeah, I'm not very cultured, am I?
We'll get you there. We will help you.
You are, slowly but surely.
It's really old. 55 years old, isn't it? It's really old. Wow. I watched it when I was a child and it scared me.
It's not quite as old as A Wonderful Life or indeed Lost Horizon, but you know, age is irrelevant, as we'll know, because we'll be sort of getting even closer to Robin's next birthday next time. Eloise, you may well say, oh, I missed that screening as well in film and television studies at the University of Lincoln. Or were you around when we talked about Captain Scarlet and the Mysterons?
No, I was 100% there for that one. I remember it as well, so it was pretty good.
There we are, I see. So you can rephrase that whole side of things. Robin, Jenny, Eloise, Rebecca and Jessica. I've just realised we probably need to get some more jingles made to actually incorporate Rebecca. So I'll actually get on the writing sides for that side of things. Keep on keeping on and happy resonating.